Вітаю, мої друзі та моя сім'я. Ласково просимо до мого третого епізоду. Я ваша ведуча Марлана. Welcome to episode 3 of You Crazy Canadian. I'm Marlana. According to houseofnames.com, the surname Keld has origins in England and Ireland. The name would have been for a family living near a well or any place that draws water. If you travel backward against the path of language migration, in Old Norse, a similar name would be Ketil, which sounds a lot like our English word for kettle. A quick etymology search indicates that Middle Dutch kettle and German kessel confirms the definition from the Latin word catenus, which meant a deep vessel, bowl, dish, or pot. I love etymology. But why is this so important to talk about an Anglo-Saxon name like Keld on a Ukrainian-Canadian podcast? Vedis Naitis. In the late 1800s, Ukrainian settlers, which included my own relatives from Halychna, Ternopil, and the lands just south and on the foothills of the Carpathians, came to Canada with the hopes to start a new life. They had designated grids, surveyed and organized by the government to break ground. If the settler had enough English wherewithal, they might be able to make sense of the map's coordinates or directions, whether written or verbal, and whether or not there were limitations or restrictions. If they couldn't speak much English, which was likely the case, the families would just do their best. But most of the time, they only had each other to rely on to make sure they were on the right track, and to make sure they had everything necessary and fair in accordance to the immigration agreements. A wave of immigrants that were supposed to settle in the already established region of Sifton, Manitoba, had other plans. Sifton is in southwest Manitoba, just northwest of Dauphin Lake and 15 miles north of the town of Dauphin. Many of the pioneers were looking for familiar terrain that they had known in Ukraine, with lush green fields and a view of the rolling hills, something to remind them of the Carpathians. With Sifton already populated, the new wave ventured south about 40 kilometers, or 25 miles, until the landscape looked more like home. Between 1897 to 1903, dozens of families flocked to the same region and began to build. And when we say build a new life, we often use it figuratively, but for these folks it was also literal. They built their soddies, then their farms, barns, blacksmithing shops, dairies, sawmills, grist mills, and carpenter shops. The area was full of wild game, so there was always an abundance of meat, elk, moose, deer. This means that there were likely tanneries on each farmstead. 160 acres of land for one family meant that there were multiple components to suit the work that needed to be done, and an infrastructure built to make that work possible. So, with all of the work that had been put into this community, the only thing left to do was to name it. Like most Europeans who came to Canada, they chose names from the old country to be represented when it came to schools, cemeteries, and other public grounds and buildings, so the community could be a reminder of where they came from. Other communities, like Sifton, were named after politicians. Plenty of information about the Honorable Sir Clifford Sifton is just a Google search away. This area had unofficially been called Kosiu, which is a town on the map in western Ukraine, where many of the pioneers had come from. Today, Kosiu School District and Cemetery keep the name, as well as the district. So, what about the area, named after an Irish word for a water source, or well, or spring? Just as a side note, my great-grandparents had well water that was crisp, cold, and very refreshing. It was completely unexpected for someone like me visiting them from the mountains out west. I have access to water that is today farmed by the Nestle company that is bottled and sold. That same water runs out of my taps and out of my garden hose. In fact, I'm proud to say that when my parents come to visit, my father often fills up their 5-gallon water bottles simply because it's better than anything from the water depot. The only other water that I've experienced to be just as good, if not better, was Parkland well water in Manitoba. Could it be that having such delicious well water was the reason for the area to be named Keld? From what I've researched, well water wasn't a significant factor. But there had to be more to the town name than Kasu, which was a district named after the Ukrainian town, and other features such as good grain-growing soil and a view of the ridings. With so many unofficial names and unofficial property lines drawn, why did this happen? And where was the official name of the town expected to be handed to the community from a politician or explorer or even a Hudson Bay dealmaker? The problem was the land wasn't exactly a free-for-all. The pioneers didn't know this. What they had inadvertently done was settle on Parks land. If you listen to episode 1 of my podcast, the confusion of where to settle and how to settle was often not very clear. If an individual or the family had been physically removed from the train heading west from Halifax or Montreal, without any direction or where to go or what to do, then what were they supposed to assume? That maybe breaking ground and creating a homestead was up to them to find and survey on their own. But as we later found out, there was a lot more to it than that, and no thanks to some discrimination and a language barrier, these families had to learn the hard way about the mistakes they had made. When the Parks Department found out what had happened, they sent officers down to the region to notify the families that they had made a mistake and they would have to move. However, once they got there, they discovered that these dedicated and hardworking folks had not only built operational farmsteads, but they also came together to build 2 churches, a store, and a community hall. So much work over these years, and all of it now threatened to be dismantled and destroyed over a misunderstanding on what was designated for parks and how the original plan for surveyed farmland was to be carefully adhered to. Instead, the officers had seen how much work was put into developing the community and met these good people, and saw for themselves that the craftsmanship that went into all the buildings was fantastic. It would have been heartbreaking to start over, and what a waste it would have been to have to dismantle perfectly good farmsteads and community buildings. Instead, the gentlemen from the Parks Department decided that they didn't want anyone to move or any buildings taken down. So they went back to the board and called for a resurveying of farmland in the area, since so much hard work had already been put into it. Not long after that, a man came out to do the resurveying, and he had readjusted the boundaries to keep the community together. Out of appreciation, the community was named after him. His name was Keld. Not a politician, not an explorer, not a Hudson Bay dealmaker, but one man who had a part to play when it came to saving about 5 years' worth of hard work for dozens of Ukrainian families who, for the first time in decades, could start to feel at home. I'm Marlana, thanks for listening. Join me again for stories that range from Keld to Yale. Побачимось, мої друзі, а пам'ятай, зробити щось про мене для себе сьогодні.